And I can tell Brita we were at the library today.
Oh. And?
They have a good children's section.
Did you get her very own library card?
No.
I Why? Didn't.
I didn't think to.
You should do that. She could get her own card.
But she'd just eat it.
I'm sure she'd let you keep it for her.
So are we live?
No.
Yeah. No?
No?
No, just recording. Wow.
Well, I want to tell you that certain segments of the population will get every single one of their little illegitimate children library cards. And this is a scam they run so that they can take out tons of DVDs and never return them.
Oh, that's kind of like my uncle used to bring. He had five daughters. Mm-hmm. And he would bring each and every one of them when he went fishing.
Just like that.
So he could pull fucking every trout out of that pond.
That's right.
Yep.
Because no, they're under whatever age it was where you don't need a fishing license.
Yep.
And so they technically all had fishing licenses as well as he did.
Yeah.
But they would just be, you know, running around and throwing stones and playing in the mud and all that.
Yeah.
Until the game warden showed up.
So they do like
this. It wouldn't matter. No, the game warden wouldn't be able to do shit.
Well, that's what I mean.
They do this thing where they like go through their wall and they have like seven cards or something, and they look for the card that doesn't have fines on it. So they can check out material.
That's like that old comedy, which you don't see anymore, the comedy gag of the of someone trying to pay for something and like have, you know, put a little bit on this card, put a little bit on this card, don't use that card.
Yeah.
Because do credit cards even do that anymore? Or do they just pretty much just say, no, we'll give you as much money as you want because we will give you as much rope as you want to hang yourself?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't. Are we live now?
9 o'clock.
Yeah,
9 o'clock.
Okay, so now I can say it.
Wait. Oh, God.
Oh, wait, what?
Now we're live.
What? Oh, I don't know.
And we already have a caller.
What?
Yeah, they're just going to have to wait for the music.
Oh.
I can't take callers before the music.
Before we have the music, I have to say
hello.
Then we're not official.
I need to say hello to the internet, though.
We'll do that.
Hello, internet! How are you doing this evening?
All right.
The internet doesn't answer because no one's listening.
Let's take this call. Hello. Area code 253. You're live.
Hello.
Who is it?
Yes.
Who is it? It's Earl.
Hey, Earl.
Hey, Earl.
How you doing?
We're good.
Yeah.
You called in. I'm excited. Like, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me? I changed my logo on Facebook.
Always good.
You know, actually what's going on with me right now, and I really think this is important, is we need to get people thinking shooting is normal.
I agree.
I really think we need to do that. And how do you do that? Well, number one, today at the YMCA, while I was saying goodbye, I said, don't forget to go shooting this month. And people looked at me like, huh? I think they need to think that that's normal. And so I'm doing that. That and
that's,
many other things.
Yeah. I've become less shy about telling people that I shoot. And I think it surprises people because, you know, I'm a woman and people still have the belief that shooting is not a girl thing. But it,
well,
you know, and I always try to take more.
Shooting isn't a normal thing.
Right. It's fun.
I'm going to say, I got to be a little bit more like that too, because I keep getting in the mentality of I live in Massachusetts and so therefore everyone will poop their pants. But I don't live in the horrible parts of Massachusetts, so therefore, and I don't venture into the horrible parts of Massachusetts unless under duress. And so, therefore, every time I have done it, it's been one of those, oh, cool!
This is one of those things that it's a perception. When I was talking to some people from California in RWA last year when they were doing an instructor boot camp, but I was talking to them about, you know, California's got a terrible reputation for shooting, okay? In other words, nobody can shoot there. They have to have special things on their ARs and all these other things that California has done a lot of legislating of whatever. But if you live in California, probably like you find in Massachusetts, and you want to shoot, there are places you go to shoot. And you can talk to people who like to shoot just like you like to shoot. You know, so the perception is that in the Northeast or in civilized society, nobody shoots or we legislate against it. The truth is the criminals are still shooting and the good people are still shooting because they are still there. And, you know, Governor Cuomo gets away with the SAFE Act in New York because nobody was looking when he did it. And then all of a sudden, like 85% of the state says, nah, we're not going to take care of it. You know, that's wrong. And so the same thing happens here in Washington. We ignored what happened. We had a legislative initiative. We passed it. We regret it. But the people who come out to demonstrate, 50% of them are good, normal shooting people, and 25% are still good, normal shooting people, but they like to pose. And then we've got 25% which are there for other reasons, and I'm not sure if they just don't have enough of a self-recognition or whatever. But anyway, we're still working against it to try to make sure people understand that you can't change the amendments to the Constitution until you change the amendments to the Constitution.
Making excellent point.
Make it legal. Yeah. Well, I'm talking to the choir. You all know this stuff.
Well, I'd say actually another interesting thing to point about that you kind of had popped in my head while you were talking about it is really it's not like the horrible legislation and the bad stuff really does anything to the shooters. Because, again, yeah, it's one of those like, yeah, I was a shooter when I moved to Massachusetts. And so, therefore, when I moved to Massachusetts, I, you know, jumped through all the hoops and did everything that needed to be done so I could be right with all the horrible laws here. But, you know, it didn't change me in any way, shape, or form except for it just made me much more angry and much more, you know, much more of an activist because – before then, I kind of took it for granted because it's just one of those, yeah, you can just, you know, walk into a store and buy a gun and go get ammo and go shooting. And it's
go to every store and buy a gun.
Yeah, it's no big deal. And but the big thing that you tend to lose is here in Massachusetts, you don't have what they have in Maine, which is people that go, oh, I don't own a gun. Oh, yeah, no, I've got an old shotgun in the closet or I've got, an old revolver tucked away in a shoebox somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, whatever. Because you can't do that because that's a crime.
Well, you can do that.
Yes.
Then all you have to worry about is if you discover it before someone else does, then it's okay. But
yes.
If you don't discover it first, it's a crime. You know, somebody else will say, well, you didn't know you had that? It used to be one of the wonderful things about being in the military when they were tearing down the World War II barracks. Every once in a while, somebody would come across a firearm, normally a pistol, shoved inside some of the, you know, fabric of the building, and they were taking the buildings out to make new and better ones. And, you know, they'd come across it and they'd say, how did the military lose control of that weapon? Well, you know, there was a war on and people were busy and everything else. The big thing, though, overall, is we need to restore normal thought process on firearms. It should not be a big deal whether you're carrying a firearm if you are not doing anything except carrying it to a place you're going to maybe use it or sell it or turn it in or whatever. But the effort on the other side seems to be, well, I'm sure you're up to something criminal. And everybody's being influenced by media. There's two types of media, entertainment media, and then there's the news media. And both of them are dead set on making everybody stupid about firearms. And they're doing a good job. You know,
and I'd actually argue all the media is entertainment media.
Well, all the media is trying to do the same thing, which is make a profit. So, you know, yes, in a certain way, I have to agree, yes, all media is entertainment media. But I'm not always entertained by what I see on the news, and my blood pressure would be really terrible if I didn't go to the Y often enough.
Well, if they anyway. Were if they were all that entertaining, their ratings would be a lot higher.
Yeah, their ratings would be higher if they were more entertaining.
When syndicated reruns get higher ratings than your so-called news programs, you know you got trouble.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go shooting this weekend, and I want to make sure that everybody else is, you know, as I walk through, you know, my week and everything else, and people I see on the way and everything, I'll talk to them about it and try to make them understand it's normal. It's okay.
It is Why okay. Not?
That's an excellent idea.
It sure is.
Great. Well, thank you so much for calling, Earl.
No problem.
Nice to hear.
See you all. Yeah. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Earl. He's a great caller.
He is.
We should play that music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because people are drinking.
Oh, no. Oh, it's Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. Episode 135. 135.
Wow.
Holy smokes. I remember we had an episode 100 just a little while ago. Now it's 135.
Yeah. We're doing well. So I think Earl actually did a pretty good segue into our first topic.
I agree.
Yeah. Is that, people thinking you're up to something if you're carrying a gun.
Yep.
And I'm still impressed that no one's dug out this guy's Facebook profile on CSGV. Of course, I'm talking about some wacko saw a guy getting out of his car. I didn't really get from the report exactly how he spotted, if it was just the guy was getting out of his car and he spotted the gun.
Yeah, probably his jacket came open or, you know, he was getting out of his car and the wind caught his coat or, you know,
whatever. It's an open carry state. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those, who cares? That's the big reason why I always say I'm not an open carry guy, but that's why I say we all need to have open carry. So it's just one of those, if you want to carry concealed, but you know what? Don't give a shit. Don't really, you know, don't get yourself all bent out of shape for, oh, I'm getting out of my car. I'm going to get out of my car all pirouette style so that my cover garment falls beautifully over my gun, you know, but he saw him. And so he did absolutely the most stupid, horrible thing to do, which is he just started following. He didn't call 911. He just started following the dude And then finally the guy went into Walmart and he grabbed him by the throat and tackled him to the ground. And yelled, he's got a gun.
Yeah. Did you see the video? It was,
I did.
Crazy. Yeah.
I'm amazed he didn't get shot or punched or.
Well, it looked like somebody else joined in the fun in the video.
Well, there's a bunch of other people. It looked like he actually got disarmed. I only watched it once and it was on my tablet. So I didn't really like do a frame by frame of it, but it looked like someone would like they took his gun off of him, but I might have been mistaken on that.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what's going on, but it looked like the guy tackled him, and then somebody else kind of joined in, and you know it was a big.
By the way, people, it's 2015. For Christ's sakes, storage is essentially non-existent. You know, it's just. You have unlimited storage on a device that's not something you're putting in your pocket. And even stuff that you're putting in your pocket, you've practically like unlimited storage on. And our cell phones have like, you know, cameras on them that are better than, you know, like the first five of my first digital cameras. So, you know, so come on. Can we get some high definition video in these security cameras?
Oh, my gosh.
No, yeah, that costs.
Cameras are terrible.
That would cost money. So
I'm sick of looking at these muddy, smooshy images. It's one of those, like, you can get a 14-terabyte hard drive for, like, $6 at your local Costco, for Christ's sakes. You know, just get it and run it and record a week's worth of high-definition video and then just overwrite it for the next week.
You have obviously never spent any time in retail.
Thankfully, no.
Yeah. If you ever get behind the scenes in retail, it's like, even even a store like Walmart, which is really not known for the flashy, you know, decorating. But you get in the back where like the employees have to do stuff, and it's just, it's pretty warehousey. I mean, there is not a single cent spared. I mean, spent on anything.
All right,
that's not absolutely necessary.
I've not worked in retail, but I've had many friends who have, and yeah. I have definitely gone back into the break room to have a cup of coffee.
Oh yeah.
And oh yeah, no, those break rooms are essentially dungeons.
Yes, they are. In a way, I think it's a plot to get them to leave and go back out and do work.
Get a real job.
Because you don't want to stay here. No, go away.
Yeah, no, you don't want – you don't. I mean, that's – to be fair, yeah, you don't want to make the place where you just want them to spend a minimal amount of time.
Right.
You don't want to make that comfortable.
Right. So, anyway. Yeah, so you know, I don't want to play the race flag, but this is like, you know – what this guy is like, you know, was he thinking, oh no, it's a black guy with a gun? I mean,
he could have been.
He absolutely could have been, but I'm going to say that because this is progressive good think that this guy did, they're actually treating it how any rational person would. And since there's no account that he said there's an uppity Negro with a gun, or, you know, the white race must march on, or whatever the hell crap you want to say, you know, they've decided that, you know, there's no evidence that it's a racial crime. So therefore we're just going to treat it like a regular crime. Unfortunately, it does not go the other way.
Oh,
of the, you know, a white officer shoots a black kid doing horrible, horrible, horrible things.
Right.
And has no, you know, or even better, a multiracial guy shoots a black kid doing horrible, horrible things. And it's suddenly a hate crime.
Well, it's all a matter of political convenience. I mean, if you push like this whole racial, you know, the poor black kid doing horrible things got shot, racism.
You mean the honor student?
Well, but it's not politically convenient for them to be like a law-abiding concealed carry black man. You know, they don't want that out
right.
there.
Oh,
you know.
No.
Oh, no. That
yeah.
could be in the news.
Yeah, I also love how in all the, you know, all the initial reports, it was, you know, when I finally, like, I think I tuned into Miguel's website was where I first suddenly went, oh, that story that I was reading about last night, that was a white, I mean, I knew it was a white dude because they had his mugshot up.
Right. But you didn't know the guy was a black guy, right?
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Not even worth mentioning, which,
right.
You know, as it should be, it was one of those, they didn't mention that dude was white. It just so happened to be that they had him, you know, the press had his booking photo, and
sure.
they didn't release the name of the guy that was tackled. I think they have since, but they didn't release his name, you know, right off the bat because he wasn't being charged with a crime. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was assaulted, you know, and all that. But they were releasing the name of the guy that was being charged because, you know, he was doing something horrible. And,
well, here's the thing. In Chicago, you know, don't they call Chicago the Chocolate City? Chicago, they call it Chocolate City.
I don't know about Chicago. I believe the term originated with George Clinton in Parliament with the reference towards cities that were more than 50% black in their population.
Okay. Well, let's just say people in Chicago, Chicago has a large black population, right?
Yes.
And crime in Chicago is crazy.
Yes.
Well, but they want to keep guns out of the hands of people in Chicago.
Yes.
So why would the news, you know, make this guy concealed carry, law abiding? Oh my gosh, he's black. It might put thoughts into the heads of, you know, the black people who have been, you know, they're suffering from crime. They're unable to defend themselves because of where they live. They could give them ideas. Weird.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can't have that.
Especially not a city that had as much of a Klan reference for the North.
Right. And, you know, gosh, they could start voting for their own best interests.
Ugh, can't have that. Gross.
Can't have that. That'd be yucky. Terrible. Oh, Washington, D.C., Chocolate City. Sorry.
Yes, that was the reference to the Parliament album Chocolate City. Not a great song, I won't lie. I wasn't a fan.
I don't know.
But I must be saying that when Ray Nagin said it, I was definitely insulted. But when George Clinton said it, it was one of those. Oh no, I get you.
Well, you know, well, isn't this also what the Moms Against Everything have been advocating? You know, when you see somebody carrying a gun, you're supposed to,
yeah,
like you're
definitely supposed to assume that they're up to no good, because
right,
if you're carrying a gun in public, you're obviously planning on shooting somebody,
right? And who is, which one was it that says all gun owners are criminals, or there's no such thing as a,
that would be all of them.
Yeah.
That would be all of them. There's no such thing as a law abiding gun owner.
Right.
Because they're just moments away from snapping.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, that's gonna be my segment on this week's this week's Gun Blog Variety Cast. Tune in, folks. Shameless plug.
Do you plug us on your other shows, Weird?
What's that?
Do you plug us on your other shows?
Every single one of them.
Yes,
you
he
better.
Does.
Wait a second, Brita. Why are you not listening to me when I'm on other shows?
I do not listen to any podcasts ever.
Even this one?
Nope.
Well, you don't. I mean, you can't listen to this one because you know what you're going to say.
I do not listen to anything. I don't even listen to music.
Yeah, I know. You're someone who needs to if you're listening to music, that's all that you're doing.
Yes. Or so I'm working out.
Yeah.
Either I'm doing nothing else or I'm working out.
That's the same thing. My wife just recently started getting into listening to podcasts, and she only listens to podcasts on the train.
I can't listen to books on tape or books on CD or whatever. I can't. I have to like sit there and listen. I can't do other things.
Yeah, it's too distracting.
I don't know.
I think
that's the advantage of having ADD.
Yeah, the problem I have with books on tape is that the pacing is not the same as my mental pacing. So as they're droning on and on about this book, I'm trying to be three pages ahead of them like I usually would be, and I can't. So my mind wanders onto other things, and then I realize, oh, I haven't been paying attention to the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened? And you have to go back?
Yeah.
No. I'm sure you're brilliant on the other podcasts.
I am absolutely brilliant.
Of course.
I am not quite as amazing as I am on this podcast.
Well, duh.
But I also have to say that this podcast format is 100% in my wheelhouse. I can say fuck, piss, balls, and shit. And which is always helpful because, yeah, it's constantly me stopping to go, well, that would be when I would say fuck, but I can't say that here.
Self-censoring.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah, well.
And, of course, the Gun Blog Variety Cast, I'm only doing like a 10-minute segment. So I've got to, you know, it takes as much time to do the Gun Blog Variety Cast as it does to do the Squirrel Report. There's just a whole lot of the, all right, let's take that again, or how do we want to handle this one, or where are we going from here? And okay, it's, yeah, if Sean was ever to release some unedited sections of that, it would be horrible.
That sounds like too much like work.
Yeah.
Though he does occasionally do a blooper reel where he puts on like a couple weeks ago, had a point where I started to do the same paragraph about three, four times in a row, and just could not freaking get the words out. Oh, so it's just me going, I don't have that problem here.
Yeah.
Well, the grown-up words are available for you.
That's right.
If you need them.
That may be the problem.
That is true.
Your brain's trying to say the grown-up words, and you know you can't say them, so you get all twisted up and can't say
anything. Actually, the problem is because the timeline needs to be so tight, I need to work from a script.
Oh, well.
Wow.
I'm much better freeform. I still paraphrase from the script, but I'm hitting the beats.
Ooh.
Still, it's a fun podcast. And the nice thing about it is it's a podcast that I'm on that I can listen to because only 10 minutes of it do I know exactly what's going to go on.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what everyone else is going to say.
No, it's a bitch to plug because I could, like, Aaron's on it, and Aaron Paulette is on it. And she, every year, she puts up what everyone's talking about. And I did that once, and I'm like, ugh, now I know what everyone's talking about. I want to be surprised. It's like unwrapping your Christmas presents on Christmas Eve and then wrapping them back up.
Oh.
So says I.
I've never done that.
Well, no, neither have I, because it's fucking insane. You're not a sociopath. You're not skinning women to make a girl suit.
No, I'm not.
Speaking of, I will be visiting Texas in March.
Speaking of making a girl suit.
That was weird.
I know. I thought it was a great segue, though.
That is.
Alan, you'll have to make Brita put the lotion in the basket.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
But I think I'll be there on a Thursday, so I think we'll probably do a show that way, right?
Yeah, we can.
Okay,
that sounds like
cool.
Fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Alan will have to figure it out. I'll just show up as usual.
I have multiple spare mic plugs in the mixer.
Okay.
You can't go all doo-wop style and share one mic?
That doesn't really work that well.
It worked for doo-wop. And Jay's on assignment.
Yes. I was about to say, Jay is at SHOT Show, and he'll be reporting back next week.
You mean at Shit Show?
Did you see that? Weird. Did you see that? I don't know if it's real, but there's a Facebook friend I have. I don't want to out him on the air, but he posted a picture. I'm going to link to it here in the chat. He linked to a picture from SHOT Show, and I think it's like a I don't know what this item is. Is it a pin, a lapel pin, or is it a sign on the wall or whatever? But I hope this link works in the chat. It should.
Oh, wow.
But
that's unfortunate.
It looks like
a wall sign.
It does look like a wall sign.
Does it say what I think it says?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would you put a bullet? I mean,
I don't. It makes no sense.
Especially in an industry where we have bullseyes and targets.
Yes. Right. And
we
like
already have O-shaped objects that are iconical to shooting.
Yeah.
Right. Like the bottom of a cartridge that's round.
Yep.
Right.
AR bolt.
Yeah.
There's all kind. There are all sorts of goatsy objects in the shooting world.
Taking Shit Show to a new direction, Alan.
Yep.
Good job on that.
That's me.
Yeah.
So that call-in number, 214-530-0036.
I need to see. More than likely, I'm thinking no, because I'm assuming if he's taking time to do SHOT Show, he's probably going to want to get out on the road and do work. But I want to see. I think one thing we need to do for a New Year's resolution is more guests.
I agree.
And so I know Chester Murphy of the Road Gunner podcast is actually at SHOT Show as well. And I felt like contacting him going, hey man, a little short notice, but you want to come on? And so, you know, you and Jay can be on together for the Let's Talk About SHOT Show episode.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So I'll see what he says.
I want to hear all the stories.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, he doesn't work for, you know, a large three-letter organization.
Yeah, he can say whatever he wants.
He He's probably like eating filet mignon every night, you know, getting wined and dined and schmoozed and.
Who? Jay?
Jay.
Oh.
Chaz is probably eating filet mignon too because he's on the paleo diet.
That's a good diet to be on.
But yeah, sounds it.
I want to hear Jay's story about his first like SHOT Show. Is this his first SHOT Show? Being
no.
an NRA guy?
Well, it's his first SHOT Show as the NRA guy, but he's the
I think this probably will make a difference for him.
Yeah, he's been to SHOT Show before, but before it was just as a blogger. Now he's
the big muckety muck and eating filet mignon.
Well, I do know he's been doing a lot of the big time press things that.
What does that mean? They
don't let bloggers get to do.
Ooh.
Like, you know.
Ted Nugent?
No. But like, you know, actually shoot guns instead of.
Oh, that's right. Shooting guns.
Yeah,
right.
Instead
ooh,
of
and
just
swag. Oh, my God. Jay must be like up to his ears in swag. He's probably thrilled. Awesome.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to hear.
And. Is it concurrent or just after?
What?
The adult video convention.
What? It's
ooh.
Concurrent.
Is it
I heard it
now?
Was concurrent. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Jay, if you're listening right now, I would like something autographed by Ron Jeremy or Nita Hartley, both if you can manage it.
God. Nobody Google that.
What?
Ron Jeremy? Yeah, if we have listeners that don't know who Ron Jeremy is, then well.
And to be fair, Nina Hartley, I believe, is a very well published author, so I think you can actually Google her somewhat safely. Though she's writing about sex.
Oh yes. The first row of pictures is mostly safe.
And actually, I heard her on another podcast, and she was saying that she is the longest contiguously running female porn star.
Good for her.
Yeah, she didn't have any retirements, false retirements, you know, going out of business sales through her career.
The business sales.
She must be very, very limber.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm a fan of her work.
Okay. Anyway.
Yes. Mergy Troyd in chat. The AVN Expo 2015.
Yeah. It is concurrent. Wow.
Oh, I'd go there too because I bet you'd run into Penn Jillette.
It's not. It's not in the same like convention hall or anything, is it?
It can't be.
I don't know.
No,
they're both too gigantic to. I bet SHOT Show is considerably larger, but they're both like altogether too gigantic. I think they take up the entirety of their convention centers. At least I know SHOT Show does, because there's always talk of like, well, will they be able to do it again next year? Because it keeps getting bigger. And they keep managing to fit everybody.
Dead air. Hey, that number to call in, 214-530-0036.
Well, one of our questions, our you know, calling questions, was about the guy who got tackled in Walmart. What would you do? I mean, or would it happen to you? Because, you know, I know I had an incident at Walmart. It's always at Walmart. One of the very first times I like open carried, I went to Walmart and I got approached by an employee at Walmart. I think she was kind of a manager or something. She came up to me and she told me that I had to cover it up. And I explained to her, no, I don't. But she was all like, you know, kind of freaking out about it. So I just pulled my shirt over it and, you know, Walmart's policy is to follow state and local law regarding, you know, guns and stuff.
As
it should be. I was polite and I was like, okay, I'll put my shirt over it. If you're freaking out, lady. Okay. God, you know,
Brita, you didn't yell, shall not be infringed.
No, I would, you know, whatever.
Rolled up your shirt sleeve to reveal your coiled timber rattlesnake tattoo.
Yeah, right. I think I was wearing a skirt and a tank top, and I was clearly an amputee. You know, I was scaring people.
We have a caller.
Okay.
It's Jason.
Oh, good.
Hi, Jason.
Good evening, everybody.
What's up?
Hey, Brenda.
Yes.
Why would they have the porn convention at the Hard Rock?
I don't know.
Okay, I just wondered. It didn't connect to me. But anyway.
Are you trying to make a joke, Jason?
I believe he's making a very good one.
Yes, I will admit to my failure. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed it, but I was really more of the haw sort of instead of the direct out laugh. It was good.
Har har.
All right. I will shoot higher next time.
Okay.
What would you do?
About the guy getting attacked.
Right. Say you walked into Walmart and some guy followed you in from the parking lot because he saw you had a gun. And then what?
Well, I'm going to be honest. After watching the video, I'm really surprised that there was nobody killed in this incident. Between the two that were wrestling or somebody just coming in and pounding on the attacker. You do that at a Walmart in Texas, you're gonna start a riot. There will be at least five people involved in that fight.
Oh, heck, I was at Walmart the other day, and some old guy had passed out and fell over on the floor, and there was 15 people standing around him at least.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, some old guy that passed out on the floor. It wasn't a fight.
Yeah. Thank God that nothing more than what did happen happened. But like you said, this is one of those things that CSGV or whatever they're called was telling people to do. And the first thing, when I first read it, I was like, that's going to get somebody killed. And the guy better just be, if he's religious at all, he better be thanking whatever God he prays to that he did not get popped and that all he's facing is some prison time. So,
yep.
Yeah, because as soon as he went and tried to grab that guy's gun, then it became assault with a deadly weapon.
Yep.
That's all it takes. And, like I said, he just better be glad that it turned out that way.
I think they're charging him with battery. Is that what it is?
Well, then the prosecutor must be pretty lazy because I think they could probably get him for more than that.
Well, it's...
Especially, y'all said he was an older gentleman.
Yes.
Usually, I know in Texas, if this guy's a senior citizen, that kind of bumps up the penalty.
According to Florida statutes, I believe the guy was 63, and 65 mm-hmm. is the magic number that suddenly goes up to where you suddenly get the double jeopardy side of it, where suddenly now you've got an additional charge for attacking an elderly person.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah.
So he didn't have that. But yeah, no, definitely. I don't know if I would immediately be drawing my gun. I probably would be protecting it and beating the crap out of him with my other hand, especially mm-hmm. given that, it wasn't a particularly good chokehold. But if he got a good squeeze going, I'd probably, I'd either be stabbing him or shooting him.
Well, and also you got the disparity. You've also got disparity of force because the attacker was a good bit larger than the other guy. So that's going to be a complication. Fortunately, I'm a big enough guy that most people, I don't tend to get attacked very often. And in my field, the only ones who attack me are the ones who are really not mentally stable. So
which this guy wasn't.
So they kind of have an excuse. But I think But I'm thinking more as a bystander, I see something like that happen. If nothing else, I'm going to throw a shopping cart on top of the attacker. Let him fight. I mean, in those Walmart shopping carts, they can do some damage.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely surprised that, I mean, it's one of those, when according to the story, it was like, as soon as the guy started pouncing on him, he was immediately going, you know, I've got, you know, he's got a gun. And so that might stop some of the initial, oh my God, I'm seeing somebody getting assaulted here. But also mm-hmm. at the same time, also the, you know, the, I mean, the rules for even, you know, even the more hardcore self-defense people is, you know, don't join in on a fight with total strangers. Cause
yep. you don't know what's going on.
You don't know who's doing what and what's going on.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just see also that, you know, that New York cop that shot the plainclothes cop who was chasing somebody who was arresting. He saw one dude in plain clothes, you know, tackling another guy in plain clothes. So he shot the aggressor, and the aggressor was a cop. So, you know, it's there's
what
ways
you,
for
what
it to
you
go.
Attacking? I was just trying to get to the blue light special, and the guy got in the way.
Yeah, but the moment the guy was evidently hollering back, "I've got a permit, you know, leave me alone," sort of situation. That's at least. Not necessarily throw a shopping cart on him or beat his brains out, but at least drag his ass off the guy, which is, you know, pretty easy to do. And then if he gets uppity with you, then it's on.
Yeah, I don't understand this the mindset of this guy that follows somebody else and then tackles him yelling he's, you know, got a gun. You know, I mean, I can understand, you know, if you're suspicious of somebody, maybe, you know, calling the police.
Yeah. May I use another anti-gun progressive term? May I use the term vigilante?
Yeah.
Because
that's exactly what it is.
This is positively vigilante justice. This is a guy taking the law absolutely positively into his own hands. I mean, they called George Zimmerman a vigilante, but the first thing he did was he called the police.
Yeah.
You know, sort of situation. He wasn't being a vigilante. He'd been through this before. He'd called the police a million times before. I've been in this situation where, you know, I was working security and someone was doing something, you know, something wrong, and the authorities were coming, but I'm going to follow the guy and watch him, because if I just sit around and just sit where I was, where I saw what was going down, and the dude left the scene and say, yeah, he went that away, he was wearing this, the cop's going to do a precursory look, but if he doesn't see anything blatantly obvious, he's going to say, nope, didn't see him, move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why you want to at least make sure that before he runs away, he has a significant enough limp to slow him down. Oh, can I know this is weird and all. Well, actually, weird.
No, I'm weird.
Can I answer a question from last week, since my little girl and I were both out sick?
Sure.
Of course.
Okay. On the college course, I don't know what she teaches or anything, but I would sign up for whatever class that J.M. Stewart is teaching.
Yes.
Just from her Facebook, I don't know what she's teaching, but I would definitely learn a lot of new vocabulary words.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I broke my promise.
All right. Thanks for calling,
all
Jason.
Right, have a good one.
Bye. And we got another caller. They're stacking up.
We're using that new call system.
That's right. This is Tony. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
I promise. Yes, it's you.
You talking to me?
We're talking to you.
Hi, Tony.
I don't see anybody else here.
Hey, Breed, how you doing?
I'm good.
Okay. Now, I just got done watching this video of this subject we've been talking about, and I'm going to have to say it. I think he was a racist, because the guy he attacked, the guy that was legitimately carrying permit, looked black or dark-complected, and the guy that attacked him was a white guy.
Racist.
Well, yeah, if you buy the racial, you know, agenda, he was white, therefore he was racist, and everything he does is racist.
You know, because when I first saw the article, I read it, you know, and I didn't think nothing of it. And then when you guys mentioned there was a video, and I'm like, okay, let me find the video.
Yep.
And that's what it looks like to me. You know, my experience with this, when I worked loss prevention with Walmart back in Kentucky many, many moons ago, while I was doing my rounds on the floor, I did observe an individual come in the store, be plainclothes. I saw a firearm. So not knowing what Walmart policy was at the time, I kept my eye on him, eventually found out that he was a police officer. You know, I don't know if he was off duty or plain clothes or anything like that. But, you know, I didn't run up and attack him or, you know, throw him out and try to throw him out of the store or anything like that. I just kept my eye on him and went on down the road, you know. But what this guy did is totally... I'd whip his ass if he did that to me. So, I don't know. It's pretty damn stupid. But I don't know. I mean, probably he's trying to get his 15 minutes worth of fame, you know, with all the other crap going on in the world. So, but it backfired on him. He's the one sitting behind bars.
Yeah, it definitely backfired. Yeah, maybe that was his thinking, that he was going to be like this big hero.
Yeah.
You know.
Could be.
I really do think that someone will find his Facebook trail. I would be very surprised if he wasn't reading, because again, yeah, all the anti-gun groups are always saying, yeah, there's no such thing as a law-abiding gun owner. If someone's walking around in a store with a gun, we need to ban open carry in these stores because these people are going to go. Or like every time a Kroger's being robbed now, it's all like we told you so, Kroger, you can't allow open carry in your store. Criminals don't give a shit.
Nope.
Well, you know, I've talked to people. I mean, where I work in Arlington County, Virginia, you know, strong Democratic thing. They're anti-gun, everything else like that. But it's like somebody comes at me and I'm able to defend myself and legally, you know, carry or anything like that. I'm going to do it, you know. Somebody, you know, because, I mean, the way I've talked to different other people is, you got three neighbors lined up in the house, you know, three houses lined up in your neighborhood. You know one of them has a gun, but you're not too sure about the other, and you're a bad guy. You're going to go, well, I'm definitely not going to go to that guy's house with the gun. You're going to take your chances at the other one because you don't want to catch in, you know, you want to get in and out as quick as possible. And if everybody had one, there would be no problem. Because if somebody comes through the door and they're not welcome, they're going to be, you know, on the receiving end of a whatever particular firearm.
Yep. And so, you know, and sometimes that happens, you know, you always hear about the, you know, the drunk guy pounding on the door of the wrong house and, you know, manages to get himself shot and everybody cries and boo-hoos over it. And I'm like, well, you know, guess what happens when you,
also, I gotta wonder about those stories, because I gotta say, I have been known to take a drink under social pressure. As a matter of fact, I may take a drink right now.
Drink, 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 drink.
Oh, that's
good.
I'm
not pressuring you. I am not pressuring you. If I could join you, I would. But since I'm working, I can't have that. So.
Yeah, and there's definitely in my youth when I used to attend to bars, which I don't bother with now because they're too expensive. I'd definitely be stumbling home late at night, you know, with a foreign load on board. And, I've never, you know, if I get to my house and the door's locked and the key isn't working, I'm just going to fall asleep on the porch or something like that. Who tries to like kick down their own door?
That's a good point.
Let alone somebody else's door. I mean, it's just one of those things of just the, maybe I haven't gone too far. Maybe I pass out too early. I don't know what the fuck it is, but how do you get to such a situation where you're kicking down a door late at night when you're drunk?
I don't know. Idiots.
Yeah. I've never been in that state, so I don't know.
You know, I mean, it would seem like after what's happened in France, where those buttholes who, you know, shot the police officer, you know, in a country where they don't even have the police officers armed, you know, that should say something to our people, we want police officers or, people in protection like that to be able to protect themselves and protect the general populace.
Well, despite what the anti-gunners say, violent crime is dropping in this country. And dropping in a recession, which is unheard of.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
And that actually ties back to the whole normalizing of shooting guns is also when you look at the numbers. I mean, every single state here in Massachusetts, the wait time. I mean, it took me over 6 months to get my permit renewed. I almost was in illegal possession of firearms because I was, I'm one of those like hardcore gunnies that knows how the system works, and so. Several months before my permit was going to go dead, I started the paperwork process, and by George, the safety net is designed to help the fair weather people who aren't geeks like me and know, oh no, if your permit's dead in January, you better start in November. And I almost didn't have that 3 month grace period, that 3 month grace period almost expired on my permit. And that was because so many more people were carrying guns. So even in the liberal states, more people are buying guns, more people are getting into shooting, more people are getting into those things. And again, violent crime is dropping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the gun range that J.B. Miller and I go to, the last two weekends that we went there, it was full of people and various age groups, a lot of – one of the comments that JB made was that they liked the fact he's seen a lot more women shooters there, at the course, and the range has also offered a female firearms class in January. It's already filled up.
Oh yeah, those female firearms classes are a hot ticket. I didn't mean it that way. Don't snark at me. I mean, if you're a lady and you'd feel more comfortable in the presence of ladies when learning how to shoot or getting your carry permit or all of that, it's best to book early because those things fill up like crazy. And it's there's never a question of being like it's me and two other people, or like when I got my carry permit, I got my carry permit and I was all by myself. It was a private class.
Well, I tell you what, you guys come on down. JB and I will take you, or even Jay, because I've shot with Jay once. Jay and JB and I went out there to the range. And come on down, and you'll have a great time shooting at that range. Awesome range. So I'm going to get off here and let you guys do what you got to do. And
thanks for calling in,
catch
Tony.
You next time.
Thanks, Tony.
No problem.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Oh, so many callers. This
I
is
know.
A good show.
It's great. Good callers, too.
We didn't even get into the American Sniper thing, which
no,
I think we
have.
I know. Well,
we have time.
10 minutes left.
Yeah.
I want to get some call. I want, if you've seen American Sniper, call in now because
I have not. Please. I have not seen it yet.
Yeah. None of us have. I got a baby. I don't watch movies except for what I've got on DVD after she's gone to bed.
Yeah. I
don't see movies in the theater.
Yeah.
I hate watching movies in the theater as well, and I don't think it's the only movies I watch in the theater now are if they're on an IMAX, because the IMAX is the only movie theater experience that's better than watching a movie at home. So otherwise, I'm sitting there and it's one of those, all right, I'm watching freaking commercials for soda pop and video games and stuff like that, and it's like one of those like,
oh yeah, it's crazy. You got to sit through like 30 minutes of bullshit before the
show
starts.
Yeah, and I'm sitting in a garbage seat and the sound is good, but I got a surround sound system at home. What am I getting from this? And I can't I got to pee.
Overpriced popcorn. You can't pause the movie while you go pee. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so instead I just wait for it to come out in Blu-ray and just watch it then. It's going to be that much better an experience, and it's also cheaper.
Yes.
I mean, it's one of those, if my wife and I go to see a movie, we're shelling out exactly the price of a new Blu-ray.
Wow.
That's true.
Really?
Oh yeah. Movies aren't cheap.
Huh.
Even matinee prices are like $8 now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for an evening thing, it's like $10 a seat.
Yeah.
I just don't like sitting in seats other people have sat in.
Well, then you're going to hate going to Texas.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I like being at home.
I hate sitting in garbage seats, and they're terrible. My IMAX has nice seats, though. But again, I don't like sitting in seats to watch movies. I like being in a full recline.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With your shoes off and no pants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. No, like I'll be sitting in my parents' house. I'll be sitting on the couch with my feet across the other seats of the couch. And my mom will go, "Oh, there's a recliner on that couch." And I'm like, "Yeah, screw it. Why would I want to do that? There's a recliner over there. I didn't sit in that one." Recliner couches are bullshit.
I've never sat in one.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
All right. Well, you know how a recliner with the little footrest that comes out?
Yes, I have one.
Yeah, they make couches with those.
Like one of the cushions of the couch is a recliner.
Yeah, it's usually the two end ones.
Oh,
have
I
got
see.
The little they got the little lever you can pull, and out comes the footrest and.
Complicated furniture.
Oh, it's bullshit.
Does it have cup holders? Because that would be good too.
They make them with cup holders. I have absolutely seen in furniture galleries couches with cup holders
too. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're set up like the back seat of a car where they've got the little. The middle back
flips down. Yeah, back. There's like an armrest and
oh
yeah.
My god.
Yeah, so it's got a little car console.
These are the items of furniture that like they find the 800-pound woman and yes. She's like adhered to it because she hasn't gotten out of the chair in like 10 years and her flesh has molded to the Naga hide and they have to kind of like, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's that. Because it has a cup holder.
That's true.
They have to use the big ambulance for that one.
It's not a big ambulance. It's just a piano moving truck with ambulance written on the side. And spray paint.
Yeah.
Free candy.
Get yourself in. The American Sniper.
Oh, speaking of giant people stuck to their chairs, Michael Moore.
Good one.
Michael Moore had problems with American Sniper. He apparently he doesn't like snipers because his granddaddy in World War II, blah blah blah, or something, or his uncle or somebody got killed by a sniper and whatever. Called snipers cowards. And this is a man who, I mean, we've all seen Michael Moore, right? His most heroic deed.
I try not to see him.
Yeah,
right.
I see him inadvertently.
But by the way, I love the fact that someone who has made his career out of ambush documentaries,
right?
You know, and on top of that, like talk about being a coward is he's been well known for hacking together interviews out of sequence and out of context and using. You know, creating false cause and effect by shooting things out of order or stating things out of order and all of that. And so I'm sorry, who's cowardly?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're shooting, you're calling yourself a documentarian, but you're blatantly lying. You know, people assume if you're seeing a documentary, it's not like based on actual events, you know, like they say in Hollywood, which means, oh no, this is straight up bullshit.
That falls under fake but accurate.
Yes. But go ahead, Brita.
I don't know. I was just, you know, Michael Moore.
Yes. He's very fat and he's very disgusting.
The interesting thing is American Sniper made a shit pile of money.
Right.
Its first
weekend. I think Michael Moore is jealous.
Well, given that he hasn't made a movie in years because...
Right.
Because even the liberals have realized that he's not useful because everyone knows he's a bullshit artist.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, you know, Hollywood you see these little pet projects of Hollywood that come out all the time, you know, and they're flops.
Yep,
and you know they're always in you know the weird things and the. Just they're horrible and yet every once in a while, and Clint Eastwood is almost, I think he's actually a better director than he was an actor, which, you know, he's directed some really great movies. And these things come along and Hollywood hates them, except they make so much damn money.
Yep.
It's like they're in one of those, what you call it? They don't know what to think because they love the money, but they hate what it's about. So,
yep.
So they're like poop. It's kind of hypocritical, you know, they're poo pooing it. Yet they're like, oh yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, it made more money than it cost to make the film the first weekend.
And you know, what's really interesting is I've heard this, I heard it a few times on one of the local talk radio stations where just callers were talking about seeing the movie. And then I've heard it everywhere. This is happening all over the country. Evidently, when the closing credits roll, there's no soundtrack on the closing credits, just a silent, you know, silent credit reel.
Right.
And people get up out of their seats and walk out of the theaters and you can hear a pin drop. Is how it goes. So it just leaves people just completely breathless and completely for lack of words. I mean, like I said, I've heard this like dozens of times now. So it's one of those, it's not just a, oh yeah, no, you saw it at this one theater and, you know, everyone got up and quietly walked out. It was, you know, it was just, it's a straight up phenomenon.
Yeah.
Do you think
so? Yeah. So I look forward to it coming out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I know. Are people? I don't know if part of the controversy is people are saying, "Oh, it's pro-war and it's promoting war," and I didn't get that at all. I think it was just one man's story, and you know, the life of a man who devotes his life to service, you know, and the discipline and the emotion that goes into that. I mean, that's not a normal thing for a person to have to do.
No,
and certainly I've heard from you know, from people who've seen it and all of that, I don't think it's necessarily pro-war. I think that it's just not anti-war.
No. No, war is a fact. I mean,
it sounds like there's a large portion of the film. Again, having not seen it, I don't know, but it sounds like there's a large portion of it just covering just the stress and difficulty of going from this horrible life and death situation of being on the battlefields of Iraq,
right,
to suddenly being at home where you're safe and you can relax and you've got your. And you're instead of your you know, keeping your team alive, you're just there to love your family.
Right. Well, you know, I think you're right. I don't think it's pro-war or anti-war. I think it's just war is a fact, and these are the men that fight the wars, and this is what they have to go through. And I think being a sniper is kind of an extreme thing because it's one man, one rifle against, you know, it's like a concentrated version of war. And
yeah.
It's distilled, you know what I mean? War. And for a human being to have to, you know, live through that and then come back from that, it's a human story. And I think that's what people have been gravitating towards. And it's a story that is not getting told now anymore. You know, men go off to war all the time. There are hundreds of thousands of American soldiers out there. And we don't hear about it. We don't see it.
Nope.
And they come back and they're invisible. Because nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to hear it. You know, and they're invisible. So I think it's an important, probably a really important film. So I will see it, but I'll wait for the DVD.
Well, it's also, you know, talking about the sniper thing, Americans have always been snipers. I mean, even in the Revolution, one of the big complaints was that the Americans didn't stand in rows and, you know, shoot at the other side. They didn't play fair. They, they hid in the trees and shot. Some of the big heroes of the Soviet Union were snipers. In World War II, a lot of the big battles were turned by snipers, and a lot of them were women.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like they're reaching for something they can slam the movie for. Oh, you're glorifying snipers, you know.
Well, it does take a huge amount of discipline and training.
Well, absolutely it does. But to your point, Brita, it's not. I don't think it's glorifying snipers or glorifying war or glorifying anything. It's just the story of a guy.
Yeah.
You know, he happened to be a sniper, and he was famous for that. But it could have been about any of the other hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
So.
Well, I think that's why a lot of Chris Kyle's, friends and family took issue with how Hollywood reacted, calling him a coward and a murderer and all this stuff, is because, the amount of discipline and training that goes into becoming a sniper, you're not just some regular schmo off the street. You're not. So I'm not going to get into it, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, it's like, it's a huge disrespect from people who have no concept of what went into becoming Chris Kyle.
Yep.
Yeah. And the sacrifices he made and the training and discipline he had. So.
Also, someone needs to call in who's seen this, because this movie has got to have the scene where he punches Jesse Ventura.
I wonder if it does.
Probably not, just because probably while they were filming it, the lawsuit was still pending. And so that's just bad form, because what if Jesse Ventura had won?
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. But I do hope that Clint Eastwood's enough of a fucking cranky old bastard that I bet you in the director's cut, which I will get on the Blu-ray, We'll have the deleted scene of Jesse Ventura getting his face knocked in.
Played by Jesse Ventura.
No, I doubt it. Hopefully they got Meatloaf to play him.
Actually, Jesse Ventura may be enough of a publicity whore that he would be in the movie.
Could be.
Oh, man. Oh, what a weirdo.
Yeah. Anyway, over. We never did talk about the
We can talk about it next week.
Okay.
Yeah, let's save it for next week. That's a good study.
That is.
And also, if you have seen American Sniper, and
or the week after,
call in next week if you want to talk about it, cuz we'll talk about anything. Yeah. Clearly.
We don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, as you learned this show, the call-in topics don't have a retirement date.
That's right.
No.
And callers rule. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah. So if you want to talk about whatever our call-in topic for the first show, which I think was just the, hey, what do you think of this show?
God, we should go back and find out.
I don't even remember what we talked about.
Yeah, I have no recollection of the first show.
It was a long time ago.
We should really kind of research that.
Yeah. What was the date of the first show? Do you know, Alan, right off the top of your head?
Well, it depends on how you define the first show.
It was in January.
Because we did a couple of test things back in January of 2012. But the actual first episode one show was end of March 2012.
Was it March?
Yep.
Because we started the blog in January.
Yeah, well, but then...
Alan, can you download the first show on iTunes still? Or
have you
scrolled it off?
No, okay. You can, and you can get it on the webpage too.
In fact, this is back when we were having really serious... sound problems.
Well, it's also, remember, because we were going to start it in January, and then my apartment got broken into, and all my computers were stolen, and so I had to wait.
Yeah.
So we actually started in March. So
March 23rd, 2012.
Yep. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it is a long time.
I didn't have a baby.
No, you didn't.
And so therefore my kitchen stayed nice and orderly. She likes to pick up things and just move them to different places.
Oh, it says Brita, it was in fangirl mode. So
oh,
I don't
stop
know.
It. Okay.
Now I have to listen to it because I don't remember what the hell that was about. See, this is one of those vague posts that I do frequently for the show. It's like, yeah, we had some callers and blah, blah, blah. You know, listen to it.
Yeah.
So, crap. Okay. Now I'm going to have to go listen to the damn thing. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week. Jay will be back. We'll have SHOT Show Tales.
Yes.
I guess that's going to be the show next week, is Tales of Woe from the SHOT Show.
The shit show.
Yeah.
The shit show.
Yep.
All right. Saved that picture, so I'll put it on the blog.
Well, Earl says go shoot, so go shoot.
Go shoot.
I think that's a great idea.
I'll probably be watching a baby.
Or watch a baby.
I'll watch a baby.
Yep.
Tear my kitchen apart.
All right.
I found a strainer in the living room.
Oh. Of course you did.
I did like five or six, but it was behind the sofa. There was a strainer. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. Now that she's mobile, you're just, it's, forget about it. You're just, you can't win.
I can't wait for my wife to come home from work and trip and fall on her ass the very moment. Cause she just put shit in front of the door.
Oh, it'll happen.
Yep. And I'll laugh.
Yep. Make sure you get pictures.
Once I know she's okay. You okay? All right. Awesome.
Get pictures.
I might do that.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, Internet.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.